I'd like you to turn in your Bibles again to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22. We're going to begin our reading with verse 34, but before we get there, in verse 23 through 33, we have the record of the Lord Jesus answering a question, responding to the Sadducees concerning the subject of the resurrection. And his answer to them was such that in verse 33, we find the words, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." Something that must have been a tremendous privilege to be able to hear the words and the teaching of our Lord Jesus. Now in verse 34, he continues in his conversation and has to do with another question that was raised by the Pharisees. In verse 34, he said, "And when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to them, unto him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets.'" Now he continues, and from verse 41 through verse 46, the Lord is teaching the Pharisees concerning the Lord Jesus, and what he is teaching them has to do with who he was, and that is the Christ. He is teaching them the pre-incarnate existence of Christ. A very important principle. Listen how he says it. "When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?' And they said to him, 'The son of David.' He said to them, 'How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?' And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare ask or question him any more." Now the Lord is teaching this important doctrine in reference to himself as the Christ, and he was causing them to see that he was foreknown in the prophets, even the psalmist, as he spoke concerning the Lord Jesus to David. And what he does is he asks basically four questions concerning the Pharisees. The first one, he says, "What do you think about the Christ?" Then he says, "Whose son is he?" And upon their answer, he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Third question. Fourth question. "If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" Now, we know from the context and, of course, the understanding of the Lord's teaching concerning himself that he is speaking concerning his pre-existence in heaven, of course, before he was incarnate. And in these four questions, there's one of them that I want to focus our attention on. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary, speaks concerning the teaching of the Lord Jesus here. And then he makes a comment afterwards. He said he wanted to add a paragraph concerning the first question, some practical use of that first question. And that first question is, "What do you think about the Christ?" Well, I want to do that. I don't want to go into the teaching that the Lord says here specifically concerning his pre-incarnate existence. But just to set our minds on the question of, "What do you think about the Christ?" I'm not going to be using J.C. Ryle's comments. That paragraph was really excellent, of course, and very helpful. But I want to do something else. I want to look at this question, "What do you think about the Christ?" with these three points, in very brief. First, a reason for the question. Second, a response to the question. And thirdly, a recommendation from the question. So the first point is the reason for the question. What do you think about the Christ? The great central truth of salvation, the salvation of sinners, relates to the person, the character, the work, the sufferings, the office, and the glory of Jesus Christ. The great central truth of the salvation of sinners relates to the person, the character, the work, the sufferings, the offices, and the glory of Jesus Christ. These are vital in Christianity. When one is sound or corrupt here, then he is right or wrong in his relationship to God. That's how vital they are to Christianity. Both now in this present day in which we live, and in the last day when all shall stand before the throne of God, the great question is going to be asked concerning and determining the character and also the destiny of man in the answering of the question, what do you think about the Christ? The subject is an old and basic truth. What do you think about the Christ? We can hear of him. We can know a lot of him. But the question is, what do you think about the Christ? Those who are friends of God are in their heart on one side, and those who are the enemies of God are on the other side. And those who are the enemies of God, even if they do not openly express their enmity against God, yet they are in fact. And if though they are not making a profession of their enmity to God, yet they are in practice. What do you think about the Christ? Now, as we have been learning in our church history class and the adult Sunday school, over the last 2,000... No, the class hasn't been for 2,000 years. It is not too long. But what we've been learning, and I think we'll find out through the history of the church, a large portion of the heresies that have risen have related to the person and the work of Christ. The disbelief in the truths of Christianity is most bitter against Christ, while at the same time, the reverence and the obedience to God feeds on the truth of which the Lord Jesus is the sum total of it. Many do scoff at our Lord, and many more refuse to believe, while some, and that is those of us who are believers, admire and hold our Lord dear to us. Some will obey our Lord, while others will say, we will not have this man reign over us. What do you think about the Christ? When we look at our present day and see some of the hatred against Christ, and we can begin to see how bitter and hostile it is, we already know if anybody leads in prayer in a public context, outside of course the ministry of the word, they are asked not to use the name of Jesus Christ. There are some who have printed his name on a piece of paper and put it on the floor and asked people to step on it. When we look at even our present day, we can see something of the hatred against Christ and how bitter and hostile it is towards him. When the fact is, our Lord Jesus is a wonderful, a good, a glorious, a gracious person. For a man or a woman to look away from himself or herself and to put his or her and look away from his or her own works and to rest and put his or her trust in Christ, that one lays hold on eternal life. Because he's looking to Christ. The security, the preservation of in eternal life consists in coming to Christ and abiding in him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he, the Lord Jesus, is dominant in one's life, the darkness of the spiritual night flees away. And the brightness of the spiritual morning comes to the soul when he is dominant in one's life. It is then that the names and the titles are important to one's mind as they are significant in one's salvation because of who he is and what he means to us. What do you think about the Christ? We've been looking at the reason for the question, what do you think about the Christ? And we said the central, great central truth of the salvation of sinners relates to the person, the character, the work, the sufferings, the offices, and the glory of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want us to look at a response to the question. We see something of the nature of the importance and the reason for that great question. Now let's look at a response to the question. What I want to do here is I want you to listen to a description that I have found in the writer by the name of William Plummer. His writings, he lived from 1802 to 1880. Many of you may not know him. He was a pastor, an educator. He pastored, I think, 3 churches in Pennsylvania and then one in Maryland. He was an educator. He was a writer. He wrote some 25 books. He wrote commentaries on Romans, Hebrews, and the Psalms. And the commentary on Psalms was included in the Geneva series of commentaries. This is found in his writing, his work, The Rock of Our Salvation. Now, what he does is takes the alphabet and goes through the alphabet using biblical terms and biblical truths relating to the person of Christ. And we're looking to response to the question, what do you think of Christ? And so here's the point, and I'll be reading much of his work. The question is, what do you think about the Christ? A, he is our advocate, the angel of the covenant, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the apple tree among the trees of the wood, the Alpha and Omega. B, he is the beloved, the shepherd and bishop of souls. He is the bread of life, the righteous branch, the bridegroom, the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. He is a bundle of myrrh. C, to his saints he is and is owned to be creator, captain, counselor, covenant, cornerstone, a covert, that's a hiding place or a place of shelter from the storm, and the chief among 10,000. D, to his saints he is the dew, as the dew, the door into the fold, a daysman, that's a mediator, or a go-between, a day star, morning star, a deliverer, a diadem, a desire of all nations and ranks and generations of godly men. E, he, to his saints, he is the elect, the Emmanuel, everlasting Father and eternal life. F, he is the fountain of living waters to thirsty souls, the fountain of joy to troubled souls, the fountain of life to dying souls. He is the foundation on which his people of all ages safely build their hopes of heaven. He is the father of eternity, the fir tree among the shadows of the saints in which the saints rejoice. He is the first and the last. He is the first fruits of the greatest harvest ever gathered, the firstborn among many brethren, the first begotten from the dead. G, to his chosen, he is the finest gold, a guide, a governor, a glorious Lord, God, the true God, God over all, blessed forever. H, he is the head of the church, the health, the hope, the husband, the heritage, the habitation of his people. He is the horn of their salvation. I, he is our inheritance. J, he is Yah, he is Jehovah, the judge. K, he is king to his saints. L, he is our light, our life, our Lord, our leader. He is our lawgiver, atoning lamb, the lily of the valley, the lion of the tribe of Judah. M, he is the man, Christ Jesus, the master, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the minister of the true sanctuary, which the Lord erected and not man. He is the mighty God of Isaiah, the bright and morning star of John, the Messiah of all the prophets. N, in none other name can one be saved except by him. Oh, he is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the offspring of David. He is the Alpha and Omega. P, he is the peace, the prince, the priest, the prophet, the potentate, the purifier, the propitiation for his sin, for our sins, the physician of souls, the plant of renown, the power of God unto salvation, the Passover, all his saints. R, he is the root and the offspring of David. He is the rock, the refuge, the ransom, the refiner, the redeemer, the righteous, the resurrection of all who are in white. He is the rose of Sharon. S, he is the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The shield, the strength, the surety, the Shiloh, the sacrifice, the sanctuary, the salvation, the sanctification, the Son of Righteousness to all believers. T, he is the truth, the treasure, the teacher, the temple, the tree of life, the great testator of his church. W, he is the way, the well of salvation, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the faithful witness. He is called Wonderful. What do you think about the Christ? Here is a response, what the Word of God says concerning him. His person is one, his natures are two. He is both human and divine, finite and infinite, created and uncreated. To him, according to the Psalms, leaders rule and governments decree justice because of him. He has the arm of God, the heart of a brother. To him all tongues shall confess and all knees bow. None loves like him. None pities like him. None saves like him. The saints praise him. The martyrs die for him. The confessors are not ashamed of him. If man would be safe, wise, holy, happy, useful, strong, victorious, they must look to Jesus. They must look to none else. We must walk in Him, abide in Him, glory in Him, and count as loss all things beside Him. What do you think about the Christ? You may go about to establish your own righteousness until you can boast about it and you can sin and then perish with the Pharisees. You may have all gifts, understand all mysteries, give all your goods to feed the poor, and yield your body to be burned. But all these things will not atone for sin, will do nothing toward regaining the lost favor, your lost favor with God, will not make you qualified for the inheritance of the saints in life. Three things, very important. None but Christ. None but Christ. None but Christ. We are cleansed through His blood. We are clothed in His righteousness. We are purified by His Spirit. What do you think about the Christ? Is it any wonder Jesus said, "Remember me"? We've looked at the reason for the question. What do you think about the Christ? We said the great central truth of salvation of sinners relates to the person, the character, the work, the sufferings, the offices, and the glory of Jesus Christ. We just looked at a response concerning what the Word of God says concerning Him. Now, finally, let me look at some recommendations from the Scripture for us. And this is some suggestions for our own meditation as we think of Christ tonight. First, let me say this to us as Christians, for the supper is for Christians. In believing on Christ, we have acted wisely. The worst sufferings for Him is better than the best enjoyments with the world. It is better to be a slave for Him than to be the wisest man in the world without Him. To die in Christ is to fall asleep in Jesus and to be forever with the Lord. What do you think about the Christ? We must hold fast our profession of His name. We must stick to Him. We must stand up for Him. We must live to Him. We must look to Him. We must be ready to die for Him. We must let our desires center in Him. We must let our motives to holy living be drawn from Him. We must let our sorrows be sanctified by Him. We must let our joys be intensified by Him. We must keep to Him alone. No one else can do us any good. And let me say to you, in reference to these necessary responses to knowing Him, devotion to Christ cannot be too excessive. There are many who love, serve, trust, and praise Him too little. But whoever loved, served, trusted, and praised Him too much can't be done. Christian, my fellow believer, my brother, my sister in Christ, our blessed Lord lived and died for us. Now let us, as we take this service, let us be reminded by this remembrance service and answer the question, what do you think about the Christ? Jesus said, "Remember me." Now I copied a prayer, and I'm not sure where I found it, but nevertheless, I copied it. The title of the prayer, and I'm going to read it to you because I think it very well expresses something to us concerning our Lord. The title of the prayer is "At Calvary," and this is how the prayer goes. "There your infinite attributes were magnified, infinite atonement was made. There infinite punishment was due, and infinite punishment was endured. Christ was all anguish, that I might be all joy. Cast off, that I might be brought in. Trodden down as an enemy, that I might be welcomed as a friend. Surrendered to hell's worst, that I might attain heaven's best. Stripped, that I might be clothed. Wounded, that I might be healed. Athirst, that I might drink. Tormented, that I might be comforted. Made ashamed, that I might inherit glory. Entered darkness, that I might have eternal life. My Savior wept that all tears might be wiped away, groaned that I might have endless song, endured all pain that I might have unfading health, bore a thorny crown that I might have a glory diadem, bowed His head that I might uplift mine, experience reproach, that I might receive welcome, closed his eyes in death, that I might gaze on unclouded brightness, expired, that I might have everlasting life. O Father, who spared not your own Son, that you might spare me, all this transfer your love designed and accomplished. Help me to adore you by lips and life. Oh, that my every breath might be ecstatic praise, my every step buoyant with delight, as I see my enemies crushed, Satan buffeted, defeated, destroyed, sin buried in the ocean of reconciling blood, hell's gates closed, heaven's portal open. Go forth, O conquering God, and show me the cross, mighty to subdue, comfort, and save. May that be the heart expression of us as we look at Calvary, look at the cross.